Hi, this is Michelle Anderson, north of Bangor, and today I am south of Bangor in Augusta, speaking with Maine State Treasurer Bruce Poliquin, who, by the way, I knew before he was the treasurer. Hi, Bruce.
Yeah. Hi, Michelle. Good to see you. Merry Christmas to you.
You too. You too.
Thank you.
So, I know you're a busy guy. I read your blog. I'm very impressed. Very impressed, Bruce. I like you better here than I think you're doing a better job here than you could have as governor.
Well, you're nice to say that. There are all kinds of opportunities to help here in state government, Michelle, and it's just terrific to be part of it. And I'm very grateful to the voters of Maine for giving me this opportunity. But we have a terrific governor with Paul LePage. I mean, he gets it. He understands what needs to be done in this state. He uses common sense. He's got a stiff backbone, and he's as honest as they get. So I'm delighted to work with him, and we have lots of work ahead of us. But I'm just thrilled to be here in Treasury. It's a lot of fun. We're working real hard, and we are changing things.
Yes, you are. You want to tell my listeners what's been going on?
Yeah, you bet. Well, first of all, the most important job I have, Michelle, as I view it, is helping all parts of state government make sure that we become very fiscally disciplined and fiscally prudent. We have a shrinking pool of taxpayer money here in Maine and coming from Washington primarily because of the problems they have down there.
Mm-hmm.
So the question becomes, how do we use this shrinking pool of money to help those in our state who are the most disadvantaged? One of the issues that I have here in state government is on the Maine State Housing Authority. It's one of our quasi-independent entities here in the state of Maine that operate outside of state government, but is still connected to us as an organ of state government.
Mm-hmm.
They are responsible for taking federal, state, and local taxpayer dollars to build low-income apartments for those that are homeless and greatly disadvantaged in our state. And one of the concerns I have is that if you look at the last 4 or 5 years, they have built a series of projects where an 1,100 square foot apartment has cost up to $292,000 per apartment. That's almost $300,000 per apartment.
And of whose money is that? Is that tax money?
Oh, yeah, it's all taxpayer money. That's absolutely right. It doesn't matter if you're paying local taxes, state mm-hmm. taxes, or federal taxes. It's all
it's
our money.
It's my pockets, Michelle. Right.
Absolutely, it's your pockets. So what we're doing is we have 4 new board members at Maine State Housing Authority. They were appointed by the governor. We've made it very clear that anybody whose term is about to expire will not be reappointed. We're getting new people.
Mm-hmm.
So those 4 new board members join me. Now we have 5 out of 9 votes. And so we're starting to change things. One of the problems we have at Maine State Housing is that it's unlike any other independent or quasi-independent authority in the state, in that the executive director, once appointed, does not serve at the pleasure of the board, meaning that the executive director has a 4-year term appointed by the governor, in this case appointed by Governor Baldacci in 2010. The term serves until February of 2014. And during that period of time, Michelle, the executive director does not report to the board, does not serve at the pleasure of the board. So effectively, this individual is accountable to nobody during that 4-year period. This is very unusual. In fact, it's unique. There's no other authority that whereby the executive director doesn't report to anybody. Now, the good news is that we have identified this issue,
mm-hmm.
and there is legislation that has been submitted. So it is now making its way through the legislative process. So this is a great time for all of us who are concerned about wisely spending taxpayer money to
mm-hmm.
weigh in,
mm-hmm.
and God willing, the legislature will do the right thing. We'll require the executive director at Maine State Housing to report to the board like every other authority. And if that's the case,
yep.
then, Michelle, the board will be able to work much more closely with the staff to make sure we get these changes done. Right now, we can ask questions, we can push the staff, push the executive director as best we can, but we can't force them to do anything.
That must be unique even in private industry.
Yeah, I've never seen this before.
Huh.
I've spent a lifetime, or my professional lifetime, in the private sector until running for governor and now serving
right.
as treasurer. I've never seen anything like this before.
Huh. Nice work if you can get it, I suppose.
Well, I hope we do, because it'll be a real a real victory for the taxpayers and the citizens of Maine to make sure there is some governing body that is overlooking the wise spending of taxpayer money at Maine State Housing.
Right. So that ball is rolling.
Yes, it is.
And what else you got in the works?
Oh, boy. Well.
I know you, so I know it's not just one.
You probably recall from our prior discussions that when we came into positions of leadership here just about a year ago, in fact, Michelle.
It is this week.
It is
today.
Yesterday, on January 5th, Governor LePage was
inaugurated. I was here.
Took his position.
Yeah.
And then the next day, a year ago today, on January 6th of 2010, he swore me in.
Congratulations. Wow. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you.
And happy anniversary to us.
Thank you. As well, you're nice to say it. Thank you. In any event, when we came to Augusta, Michelle, we had a real problem. We had a budget here in the state of Maine that was really in tough shape. For example, we had about $1 billion budget deficit facing us, and the governor was very on the mark.
You say billion with a B.
Yeah,
correct.
With a B. Yeah, $1 billion shortfall. And the governor was very proactive and very direct in making it very clear to everybody in positions of leadership that we are not going to use gimmicks like not paying hospitals $500 million that they were owed.
Again.
We're not going to use a one-time stimulus money that we knew was running out and is now, by the way, gone to balance the budget. What we're going to do is we're going to balance the books straight up, just like they do in the private sector, and tell the truth to the people of Maine what our fiscal problems are. Now, one of the problems we faced last year, and I'm sure you remember this, was we walked into a $4.1 billion shortfall in the pension fund. These are the retirement benefits that are owed our teachers and our state workers. And we simply had a situation, Michelle, that we just couldn't afford. And the problem is that the annual payments to pay off that $4.1 billion piece of debt were starting to spike. Had we done nothing, this year, a one-year payment to that retirement fund would have been a little over $400 million.
Oh, dear.
One-year payment. And then 10 years from now, it was projected to rise to $800 million. So it was currently going to be about one-seventh of our budget, on its way to one-quarter of our entire budget. So we had to do something because we just couldn't afford it. Now, under the governor's leadership, there was a small team of us that that got together and were helpful in reforming the program such that we did not cut anyone's pension check. None of our teachers and state workers got cuts to their pension checks. However, what we did ask them for, and we are very grateful that they sacrificed this way, the rate of growth in their pension benefits was slowed down. And so by slowing down the rate of growth in their retirement benefits and asking new folks in the system to retire at age 65 instead of age 62, that allowed us to eliminate $1.7 billion of this debt. And going forward, we're now spending $200 million per year less going forward. It's a huge...
So is it not growing now?
It is. Well, it depends on what the stock and the bond markets do.
Okay.
Because that has an impact on how it grows or not. The benefits are not growing as quickly. In fact, we've frozen them for 3 years and then capped them beyond that at 3%. And so we're hopeful that the investment pool will perform well. If it doesn't, we're going to continue to have a problem. But right now, that $4.1 billion pension debt is down to $2.4 billion.
Great.
So we still have a big chunk of pension debt, but we were one of the few states in the country that was able to successfully address this issue, and it's less money that the taxpayers will have to pay for these retirement benefits. And frankly, it gives our teachers and our state workers more confidence.
More stability.
Sure,
right.
Because now we have a plan that is more affordable.
So they were willing to go along with this, or did it take a lot, or...
Yeah, I would say that willing to go along with it is
well, I'm looking at Wisconsin, and I'm thinking, well, I don't remember them rioting downstairs. So,
no, one of the ways we're able to solve these problems, I think, Michelle, is this is Maine. Mm-hmm. And we're all quite civil. I mean, we're very passionate when we come to some of these issues that confront us, because that was a long-term structural problem that we had to fix. Mm-hmm. But I think that in the end, the teachers and the state workers understood that what we're trying to do is protect the system so it's there for them when they need the money when they retire.
Right.
But at the same time, it can't go on if the taxpayers can't afford it.
Right.
And so everybody chipped in. The teachers did, the state workers did, and I'm grateful for that. And the taxpayers who continue to pay for these pension benefits that they themselves don't get, but the teachers and the state workers do get. Mm-hmm. So there's a, and of course, teachers and state workers also pay taxes, don't get me wrong.
Sure. But they get them.
But they get them. That's correct. So everyone, you know, the reason why that problem really began is that many, many years ago, retirement benefits were promised without putting money aside to pay for them. And this compounded over a very long period of time. We then came to office on January 5th, January 6th, a year ago now, mm-hmm. and looked this thing right in the eye and said, we've got to deal with this issue. And we did successfully, and I'm very thankful to everybody involved that it came out so well. Now, what's going on now? Mm-hmm. I mentioned to you last year, sort of the big structural problem that we had in the budget was dealing with this pension debt. How do we pay that thing off? And we're quite successful in dealing with it, at least for the time being. Right now, we have another problem. It is our Medicaid program. This is a huge program, Michelle, that over the years, the philosophy in state government had been, since the federal government is paying two-thirds of these Medicaid benefits. And of course, we call our Medicaid program here Maincare.
Right.
But since they're paying two-thirds of these benefits, why don't we enroll as many people
expand.
As humanly possible?
Right.
Sure. Because I can't tell you how many times people said, well, Bruce, why would you want to leave, you know, 67 cents on every dollar on the table? Why wouldn't you want to take that money from the federal government? Well, the answer to the question is quite simple, is that we can't afford our one-third. So what we have now, Michelle, is a program that, like the pension fund before, is simply unaffordable. We have now 361,000 of our fellow citizens in this one program.
361,000?
Out of a population of 1.3 million. That is 27% of our entire population. Mm-hmm. It is the third highest enrollment rate in the country based on population. So we are clearly an outlier when we look at any other state. We have a lot of people in the program, more than we can afford, and the benefits that are provided in this program are more generous for the most part
right.
than in other states.
Right.
So now we have a problem. And is what do we do about it? Well, it's such a problem that, remember, we have a two-year budget cycle here.
Mm-hmm.
And the budget, this two-year cycle that we're in now, started July 1 of 2011. So we're 6 months into it.
Okay.
Okay, so we have another 18 months. During that 18-month period of time, we have a $221 million budget hole because of this one program.
But this program pays for ed techs in the local schools. It pays for drug addicts who are on methadone. It pays for all sorts of things that aren't necessarily paid for in, say, California or Wisconsin.
That's one of our problems, Michelle, is that it also pays for housing and food and some transportation for some folks. It also enrolls 19 and 20-year-old, healthy 19 and 20-year-old. It also enrolls healthy, capable, not disabled adults with no kids.
So that's legally and according to our state guidelines, is that correct?
That's
correct.
I
mean, it's not like they're going behind anyone's back. That's what the guidelines here allow.
That's right. And the federal government does not require this. Is that over the years, Maine, and sort of, you know, one step at a time, has become more and more generous in this program, and now it's really not, it's no longer just a safety net for those that are the most vulnerable
right.
among us, which is the goal, of course, of the program, Michelle.
Right.
It is now really a middle-class entitlement program. So we just don't have the money to pay for it. And as these numbers, by the way, have been sanctioned by the folks in the state Senate who work on these numbers in a nonpartisan way, so they are accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that we have is, remember, I mentioned that budget that goes from June 30 to July 1.
Yep.
It's mid-year. Okay. Well, right now we are in the, of course, the January through March quarter, but we are spending money from the April, May, and June quarter.
Next quarter.
That's correct. So we are now spending next quarter's money. And what happens is...
That doesn't work well in a household.
Well, it doesn't work well in a business either. And the problem we have is that unless we fix this problem, the numbers indicate that on April 1, the Department of Health and Human Services will run out of money. So we have to reform this. Now, the good news is that, just like the pension issue, is that instead of kicking this can down the street, instead of covering it up with not paying hospitals, instead of covering it up by reducing what we're supposed to pay doctors when they provide these services, instead of borrowing from the future, we're not doing any of that. We're telling the voters of Maine the truth. And hopefully they will weigh in with their state representatives and state senators, asking them to make the tough decisions to reform this program so we can now afford it. Or hopefully we'll be able to afford it. And what's happening now is that this debate is now working its way through the legislature. They are working on it right now. They're debating it every day. And by the end of this month, over the next 3.5 weeks, they will have to decide this in time such that we don't run out of money on April 1, because we need time to implement the changes. So this is really big stuff, Michelle.
Does that look positive, Bruce? Does it look like they're actually saying, oh, God, we do have to do something?
I know the oh, God is there now.
Okay.
In other words, we have, and with the governor's leadership, we have raised this issue to the level that now it is being addressed. We need to address it. And I'm a very positive person, a very optimistic person.
Yep.
And I believe that when push comes to shove, the legislators will do what is right to keep this state solvent. Now, the way I'm weighing in on this, this issue in part, Michelle, is I'm starting to communicate this to the legislators, and we'll start doing this to the voters around the state.
Good.
Is that our state's credit rating is dependent on our ability to pay our bills.
Mm-hmm.
Our state's credit rating is dependent on our ability to rebuild our piggy bank, our financial reserves, because we've drained it down to almost nothing.
And a bake sale is not going to work, is it, Bruce?
A bake sale is not going to work in the state of Maine. It might in Georgetown, where I live, but it won't work all throughout the 16 counties of the state. So where I'm going with this is, it is very important for all of us in state government and all of the folks around the state to understand that the state has a credit rating. Just like when you go and buy a car, or you go and you buy your first home, the banks want to take a look and see, Michelle, okay, what's your credit rating like?
And what interest are we going to charge you?
Exactly. Remember, the better, the higher our credit rating, the less interest we pay when we borrow money. It's also, when it comes to the state government, it's a very visible sign to business leaders around the country. Because when they look at investing in Maine or any other state, they say, okay, this state has a very high credit rating. What that means is they have a low amount of debt, they can pay off their debt, they can pay their bills. Hey, this is a great place for me to invest without having to worry about taxes going up to pay for out-of-control spending or out-of-control debt.
Right.
So our state's credit rating is so important, and why the pension fund was so important to fix, not only to help the budget so we can afford it, but also
the
credit rating agencies gave us very high marks, Michelle, for dealing with that. They are now looking at us again very closely to see how we deal, or if we deal, with this second long-term structural problem, which is our Medicaid program. And I am greatly positive in my belief that in the new year, we're all going to join hands together and know that this Maine is a tremendous community. We're all related. Somehow, we're all connected. Mm-hmm. Whether you live in Frenchville or you live in Kittery, and we will do the right thing for the taxpayers of Maine, for those that are most vulnerable in this state. We must re-engineer the state government such that we can pay for what we can afford. And we're getting there, but this Medicaid problem is huge, and that's top of our agenda right now.
Bruce, thank you so much for meeting with me, and I hope to meet with you again in the next 6-7 months to see what's behind us And what's the next thing ahead of us?
I always look forward to seeing you, Michelle. You have such a great smile on your face. And I met your husband this morning.
You did.
Oh, was it yesterday in the cafeteria?
That was this morning.
It was this morning in the cafeteria, right.
Yep.
And he looked terrific, too.
At the Senate Hotel.
It was at the Senate.
Senator Hotel.
You know, one thing I haven't maybe told you listeners before, but it's kind of fun. I live about an hour and 15 minutes away in Georgetown, and the roads are narrow and slick and hilly. And I leave in the morning early when it's dark out, and I go back at home later. So what I have done, they call me the bandit. I shouldn't say this. But at the Senator Hotel, I've negotiated a very low rate.
I'm sure you have.
And by the way, it's on my own nickel. Uh-huh. It's on my own nickel. But I'm able to stay there and get a lot of work done and not worry about traveling when the roads are icy and dark at night.
Wonderful.
So it's all good
stuff. Can you get me one of those?
Well, I negotiate on behalf of the taxpayers of Maine. So I do that indirectly for you, but you're probably going to have to do your own negotiating at the Senate.
Okay. Thank you so much,
okay,
Bruce.
Michelle.
So I hope you enjoyed this interview with Bruce Poliquin, and I hope you'll stick around so that you can hear the next issue we bring up that matters to those of us north of Bangor.